Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-hosts, Pastor Butch Paul, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Thursday, April 5th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Miss Melody. How are you?
I am doing just absolutely wonderful.
Peachy, peachy, peachy.
Peachy keen.
With cream on it, even.
Well,
wow.
I said keen, not cream.
I said with cream, though. I said with cream.
But you said with cream. Okay.
Yeah, peach with cream.
It.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've had a good day. It's been really busy in the office today, and I kept the girls hopping. They just not got finished right at the last minute. It's been a good day. Sunshine is a pretty day, so I'm not complaining.
We have a very pretty day here on the eastern shore of Maryland, but it picked up wind again today. But it is what it is. I'll take the sunshine and warm.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
We're supposed to have snow
one
on
day
Saturday.
At a time.
Snow on
you,
Saturday.
I know. Shut up. You said that four-letter word. You said the four-letter word on radio. Can't believe it.
I know. But let me say another four-letter word. Gold. Hey, gold today was little pressure on gold today, down 780 at 1,326. Silver was up 9 pennies today at $16.48. Platinum was down $6 at 914. And palladium, for the first time in a very long time, traded below platinum, 909. It was down $25. Down almost 3%. So a big hit to palladium today, down 25 at 909. Let's see what else we got here. The USDX today was stronger by 0.35 at 90.47. Thank you, Larry Kudlow. And crude oil was up 0.26 at 63.63. And the paper markets today had a good day, up 240 points at 24,505. The NASDAQ was up 34 points at 7,076. S&P was up 18 at 2,662. Early morning trade, paper markets were strong, you know, all the way through until it opened. The only one that had some negative pressure was Hong Kong. London was up. Germany was up 3%. London was up 2 3/5. Let's see if there's any other exciting news here. Still pressure on Bitcoin, trading at 67.85, and that extreme fear index, the emotion is moving higher. You know, it's 14. So last week we were at 7, 8, and now we're at 14. So people are beginning to feel a little more confident that these trade wars perhaps won't affect the markets as they once, maybe they're not as concerned as they once were. I just wanted to make a comment on this. You had Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister. He says that there's prospects are good for a win-win-win NAFTA deal with the U.S. and Mexico. He came out and said that today, and he says, with the pressures of the elections in Mexico and the U.S. elections, we feel we could announce something at the Summit of the Americas, and that would be great. And he's referencing to that summit, which is April 13th and 14th, gathering of regional leaders in Peru. Now, I heard a little bit about the Mexico elections, and I guess the guy that's in the lead is really anti-American. So, that's all right with me. But, you know, I don't know what type of impact that would have on NAFTA, so I would assume that they're trying to get it done. That's one of the reasons why they're trying to get it done prior to their elections. Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland headed to Washington to meet with the U.S. Trade Representative yesterday, and they met with the Mexican Economy Minister to try to reach an agreement in principle in NAFTA. Under the current agreement, 62.5% of the content of a vehicle must be produced within the NAFTA countries to move duty-free across borders. Washington wants to bump this requirement up to 85% with 50% of U.S. origin. And, of course, that was rejected by both Canada and Mexico City. The U.S. officials have not confirmed a Canadian media report that the U.S. negotiators have dropped this demand. That's probably one of the biggest ones in the NAFTA agreement as far as our automobiles. Another one that I thought interesting, Pastor Butch, was Mexico, meanwhile, is reportedly holding out against a U.S. demand that would require automakers to source auto parts from factories that pay workers at least $15 an hour, in line with the U.S. and Canadian wages versus Mexico's current average wage of $3 per hour.
Wow.
Yeah. Pardon? Did I lose Pastor Butch? I think I did. He's been so busy in the office, I think I lost him. So we'll just have
Can you hear me, Todd?
Now I can hear you.
Must have turned me down. I said, now America has got to the point that they're going to tell other...
I lost you again. Okay. So I'll go on until he gets back. So... in a speech yesterday in Toronto, you had U.S. Ambassador to Canada, Kelly Craft, list other trade irritants, including a lack of U.S. access to Canada's telecommunications sector and generic drug market and its relatively low threshold for duty-free consumer goods. So, you know, we'll see how it all turns out. I definitely think there'll be something coming along. You know, I'm not sure if it's going to be everything that the U.S. gets, but most likely there will be... you know, something, you would think it'd be something that they would be able to agree on. I know Pastor Butch had wanted to talk about some things. We're going to talk about Connecticut and Hartford. They get $2 billion offer for properties. Connecticut and its capital, Hartford, are there, you know, you have to ask, are they desperate enough to sell and lease back their properties and guarantee the buyer a hefty
return? Got it.
Chicago-based private equity. Are you there now? I guess you are not. Would you please make up your mind, Pastor Butch, whether you're going to be here or whether you're not? Anyway, there's a Chicago-based private equity real estate firm that is offering as much as $2 billion to purchase office buildings, healthcare facilities, transit-related properties, and whatever the government thinks they can sell, so long as the buyer gets a 7.25% initial return, plus annual rent hikes of 1.5%. Now, this offer by Oak Street Real Estate Capital, LLC, detailed in letters of intent delivered yesterday, leaves a choice of what properties to include up to the governments. Now, we know Connecticut and its distressed capital city needs the money. The state government has been wrestling with an underfunded pension system, chronic budget deficits, in part because of the national economic recovery pretty much passed much of Connecticut by leaving it with a fewer jobs than it had a decade ago. And Hartford is even worse. The capital avoided bankruptcy last year only because of a bailout by the state. So it makes you wonder, who are these people that are buying up our property? You have the Chicago-based private equity real estate firm offering $2 billion. It's interesting, in the past, 2 weeks, we had the Saudi king visiting all across this country. I wonder how much property he's buying up or making offers to buy in this country. I mean, they've used our country for collateral in order to, they're using it, and they're coming in, and they're buying it up. And it doesn't matter who's behind this. So,
Melody, I'm with you by phone, by the way. I'm on the phone. Our Comex line went down for some reason. I'm with you by phone.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Sorry about that. But anyway, that's, you made a
no
comment
problem.
about we're wanting to tell Mexico to pay their workers $15 an hour. So we now tell foreign nations how much to pay their workers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And according to the news, Mexico's going to be very upset if Trump follows through with putting troops on the border. They're going to be very upset. The new president coming in that doesn't like the United States, who knows what could happen?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
So we'll see, you know, how that's going to work out. But, yeah, you're right. And I think that's why they're trying to push this through. I mentioned it while you were gone. I think that's why they're trying to get this NAFTA agreement done. if possible, before they get that new president in there, because he is so anti-American. So, and they have this summit coming up, you know, in the next 2 weeks. And so I think something will be announced at that point in time. We'll see. But after we finished that report, Butch, we went to the Connecticut, and Hartford is getting a $2 billion offer for properties.
Yes, I'm going to share that. Yes.
Out of the Chicago-based private equity real estate firm, they're offering $2 billion just to catch you up to what I was talking about. They want to purchase office buildings, healthcare facilities, transit-related properties, and whatever the governments they think they can sell. And I made a point, well, you know, you had the Saudi king visiting the United States for several weeks, going across this country, visiting everybody as, you know, and I wonder how many offers he made to buy property here in the United States. We know China's buying up properties here in the United States.
They have been for a long time, yes.
Hmm?
They're not just buying our debt, they're buying our property.
They're buying our property. And why? And why are they why is our property available? Because these cities, these states, the governments have placed these, you know, all for made promises that they couldn't
keep.
And
we'll discuss a few minutes, too, about the pensions in the states are going downhill fast. But in another state, maybe you may saw this, Vermont has 13 million tourists who drive through and visit the state once a year. They are losing workforces. People are leaving the state. They don't want to stay there. So they're trying to make it entice a tourist to sell them on living there while they are there. So they can't find enough workers to work in the markets where they said the white people don't want it. That's what they said. I mean, they said the Americans don't really want it. They have to have illegals in to work there because the white folks don't want the jobs. So they're asking for tourists up there and offering. This is all for real. I got a new program aimed at retaining at least some of the several million people who visit Vermont each year. They want to stay there, and it's entitled Stay to Stay. And it's even formally announced last month by Vermont Governor Philip Scott. So they're trying to get the people to come there and move there and stay there. Now, I don't know, but with the ones moving there, take the jobs, everybody else doesn't want. And they have a hard time believing that somebody doesn't want that job. I do. I talk to people every day who's looking for any kind of work. I had a guy call me today that is living in his pickup truck right now. He lost his house. And so I'm looking at this thing, would nobody want those jobs up there? Are we so particular, Melly, that we won't work at whatever the jobs are to feed the family? Is that, do you think that's real, or do you think it's just all blowing smoke because they want other workers there to work cheaper?
Well, no. You know, you get folks who get on, you know, disabilities. They get subsidized. They get their unemployment, and yeah, they make more money off the benefits than they do working. So why should they go to work? Why should they go and get a couple bucks an hour when they make more off the benefits that they can get from the government? That's not all cases, but it's a lot of the cases.
It's, of course, a lot of cases. I've had people literally tell me to my face, if I took that job, I'd lose my check. I haven't told them that right to my face.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sitting back thinking, I'm paying his check.
Yeah.
I mean, why shouldn't that bother me? This another article here along the same lines. California is now giving out a million driver's licenses to undocumented, well, they call them undocumented immigrants, they're illegal aliens, giving out a million so far. And they said it's helped the state because they are insured and licensed and makes the road safer, and it's good for those that are there, makes it easier for them to live there. Melody, they're illegal. Why would the state want to make them legal live there if they're illegal? Why would it make it easier for them if they're illegal to be there in the first place? You follow what I'm saying? This is ridiculous.
Well, that's not the only one. It's not the only. There's
D.C. doing the same thing.
Well, there's 12 states that allow driver's licenses for people in the country illegally. You know, they have all their different laws in order to allow that to conform to, you know, what they have. But
when's the last time you went to DMV and saw somebody trying to get a driver's license who was a citizen of the country, and they couldn't get them for some improper paperwork because they got divorced and didn't change their name back or something? I mean, I see that all the time. be legal to come in without any documentation at all and get a driver's license.
But you know what's interesting? Vermont's one of them. But what's interesting is Utah and New Mexico. New Mexico started it. It was effective in 2003. That law allows for an applicant to provide an individual tax identification number or other document designated by the department, regardless of immigration status. But they did that in 2003. They were basically the first state. Utah was the second state in 2005. There was Washington in 1993 is when their law went effective. So they were the first.
Well, why is this good for us? When American citizens have a hard time getting a driver's license, because they have to get a copy of their birth certificate and a proof where they live, and on and on and on. If you transfer from one state to the other, they have to have proof in the other state. But they come in from out of country, illegal now, mind you, illegal. I mean, they know they're illegal. And they bring them up and say, come on, get your driver's license. What is wrong with that picture? And why aren't people angry about this?
But you know what's interesting on that list that I have of the 12 states that do it, you have those three that did it in 93, 05, and 03. Everyone else was 2014, 2013, 2016, 14. Uh-huh. So it's really just particularly right after the Great Recession was all of a sudden when people were looking for jobs and needed jobs.
And Obama was in office.
And Obama was in office.
Of course, he's illegal.
Correct.
He's illegal too. So what difference does that make, right?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? It's just ridiculous. I mean, this makes me angry. I talked to a gentleman today who hasn't got. He lost his home. He's living in a cab of a pickup truck, and it's still wintertime in a lot of places. And he's trying to survive in a pickup truck, and he hasn't been able to find any kind of work. He's not healthy anyway. And these illegals come over here and draw benefits without doing anything to earn them. This is wrong, Melody. I don't care. I'm all for helping people. But we got to do it the right way.
I agree.
We have to take care of our own first. But yeah, you see, you got me started already. Now, I'm just trying to stay calm today.
No, there's no keeping you calm today.
But, just in a way, another point of interest, too. The states, there are the five top states that do the most trading with China. Now, one of them I would expect it. California's number one. I expected that. Would you believe that Tennessee, Minnesota, Illinois, and Washington are the number of the 1, 2, 3, or 5, 4, 3, and 1, or 2 and the people that just trade with China? California number one, Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Tennessee are the number one traders with China in this country, the states. I wouldn't have thought that, Tennessee especially.
Well, you know, the China is a big importer of soybean, and that would come in those states.
That's very true, too.
From the farmers. So that's why those states trade.
After the break, I'll tell you the most 10 affordable states to live in.
Okay.
Okay. And we'll see where to move to.
Okay. And we'll be right back to hear that. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as common sense voices of integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, and it is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter, and of course, these programs are archived on a long-term basis. And with that, 90% silver, it's up a little bit, but we're still offering yesterday's price, 800-375-4188, little bags of 90% silver, $25 face value, and $330 if you purchase two or more, you'll get free shipping. So it's a great deal. Even with silver's up today, you're getting yesterday's price. You don't find that very often. So
now, I wonder if people caught what you just said. $25 of real money is worth $335 of paper money today. Mm-hmm. Should that tell us that maybe the dimes were, we should have hung on to more silver and buy it now while it's cheaper? But this time next year, it may take $400 to buy the same amount of silver.
I think it's going to.
So we're seeing, folks, think about this. $25 of real money in today's worthless currency is $335. Why should you buy gold and silver? Call this worth more than paper. It's going to continue to rise. That's all there is to it. But anyway, now I want to tell you about the 10 most affordable states to live in, Melody. Are you excited to know about that? All right.
Do I have to move?
Well, you don't got if you don't want to, but
I'm
number
sure
one,
Maryland's not on the list.
No, it's not. Unfortunately,
yeah,
it isn't.
So.
It is. But the list of 10, starting at number 10, Missouri. Well, I wouldn't have thought that, but it's one of the most affordable states. Second is one of the poorest states in the country, West Virginia, and that's where I come from. That's number 9. Number 8 is next door to us, Kentucky. Number 7 is Kansas. Number 6 is Oklahoma. Number 5 is Nebraska. Number 4 is Michigan. Number 3 is Iowa. Number 2 is Tennessee. And number 1 state to live in, the cheapest rate, is Ohio. I wouldn't have thunk that either.
Ohio. I wouldn't have thought that either.
No, I wouldn't have. So, yeah, that's in case you want to move, folks, if you're looking for a cheaper place to live, you can start from Missouri and go up through us and right on up to Ohio. And any one of those 10 states may be a little cheaper for you to live. Now, but I will say this. I can't speak for all the states. Illinois is bankrupt. West Virginia is the second poorest or the poorest state in the country. I think California took that over a while back. But nonetheless, that's real. I mean, those are places you want to live cheapest, but you're going to make less money here. So you go figure. Okay. Anyway, and I did want to say very quickly about Venezuela's new currency they're working with. It's actually deteriorating. Mm-hmm. And it's going down. It said the Venezuela's currency is worth even less than previously believed, with new trackers of the black market rate showing deep discounts compared with the long-standing benchmark gauge. Rates from the widely watched DollarToday.com, known for arousing President Nicolas Maduro's ire, is on state TV, having lagged behind other markets that show prices 30% weaker since he did all the changes. While the U.S.-based website posts a rate of 251,000 bolivar per dollar. Now, Melanie, our dollar is worthless, but it's worth 251,000 according to this article. But according on Dollar Pro, it is worth it takes 362,000 bolivars. Any wallet to for a dollar, to make a dollar. So our dollar is going down the tubes. If they are that much more inflated or deflated, how you would put it, compared to our dollar, these folks are in trouble.
Well, they truly are. And, you know, if you go, it's all about confidence, too. And so, you know, and you're right, everything that he's done, tried to do to keep it, the whole thing is they want to tag their currency to the dollar. That's what they want to do. That's what they did with Zimbabwe. They were able to take U.S. dollars in there, started accepting U.S. dollars, and that's what brought Zimbabwe out of their hyperinflation. And everything that you hear about Venezuela and, you know, how they, you know, the governments put sanctions and so forth, that's what they want. They want them to put the dollar in there.
Well, I know Mexico.
And he's rejecting. And, you know, he does, you know, he doesn't want that to happen. He's trying to find other ways so that it doesn't, you know, so they don't bring in the dollars in order. But that's probably their only lifeline that they have turn this around.
Well, would that be another way for the United States to control the economy of Venezuela? Of course.
Absolutely.
An empire has to spread or starves to death. An empire generally is starving from the inside out. If they don't spread, they die. America is dying. A lot of different ways. So this is one of them. But I know in Mexico, Marshall went down last September to Tijuana, the BioCare Hospital, one of the best trips I took in my life, and I'm going back down this summer again, that the dollar is accepted across the border, no problem. They don't even mention pesos. They're happy to take a dollar. And that's just as freely traded down there as it would be in here in West Virginia. There's no question about that. So I thought it was kind of unusual that a foreign country takes a dollar, you know, without question. So there you go.
You know, and it was funny. And when we were you used to be able to use dollars everywhere around the world. And, you know, when we went to Europe, you know, back in the late 2000s, they don't want that dollar. they wanted the euro. They didn't want anything else. They wanted their own. Of course, they're not that much better off either at this point in time, but
I guess it's where you go and how much their currency is worth. If a dollar's worth more, they want the dollar. If not, they don't want it.
Yeah,
makes sense.
We always had to convert our dollars into their, you know, to the country's currencies. Nobody took the dollar.
So I remember that was in the military. Had to do that, and you may have saw this too. But the Commerce Department said that we have the highest trade deficit since 9.5 years ago. Our trade deficit last month was $57.6 billion. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Almost half a trillion dollars. I mean, over half a billion. I mean, over almost, well, half a trillion dollars. Now, that's a lot of money. Well, you say it that way, it sounds like a lot more. But $57.6 billion trade deficit for October, since October 2008, it's been last time it's that much difference. That's a lot. That's a huge trade deficit. Docks are sitting, you know, loaded. And in New Jersey and places, not going anywhere. I mean, that does say something about this. I don't know. Maybe there's stuff going on I don't see, but if we're not selling goods, how do we keep jobs?
Well, you know, what's interesting about that, I mean, you know, you'll hear various, comments about, you know, the trade deficits, you know, that we have to have a trade deficit because, you know, people are doing well and they have to buy their trinkets and they always look for the cheapest price, and the cheapest price will always be, you know, trinkets from various countries, you know, particularly China. And so will the consumer buy made in American products if it's going to cost them a few bucks more?
Probably not.
You know, not just... Yeah, they're. I mean, I know what I face when when people are pricing gold and silver. It's like, you know, they're 2 cents lower than I am.
Yeah,
it's just
yeah.
like our, you know, yeah, and it's, so it is important to people because people are strapped.
You know, they are strapped.
They are strapped.
And I understand the feeling. I truly, truly do. I'm more strapped now than I was a year ago. That's just the way it is. It's life. I mean, that's how it is. The dollar's getting less and less value. People that in turn owe us money can't pay us, so it goes, what goes around stays around, comes around, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
It really does.
But you And it all comes back to the trillion of dollars, the 1.4, I believe, trillion dollars that China has purchased of our debt. You know, by purchasing our debt, it did help to keep our rates low and get us through the, you know, what we've come out of the Great Recession and so forth. And, you know, basically free money, it helps. So, you know, it's so entwined. The web has been weaved, and, you know, I'm not sure how you break away. Well, I don't think you can break away until we face some serious defaults here in the United States, because we all know that our debt is just too great to be repaid. And it's really as simple as that. I don't care how many tariffs you put on. I don't care how much, you know, new jobs and wages and so forth. We're not going to be able to build our way outside of this outside of our debt. I mean, that's just...
That's pretty true. And you have to ask yourself, too, what is China gaining by buying our dollars? There's got to be a trade-off somewhere there. Of course, they're trading to us. They're trading for us, and they're making money off us because we're trading with them. But they also are stocking up on our properties in this country. They own a lot of our nation. You know that. So they get something in return for that.
Absolutely. You know, they're buying up everything here. Our country is up for collateral.
There you go. And I think, by the way, the folks, that includes us. We are cattle for the collateral for this debt, and that's a fact. You can check it out for yourself. And when you look up on Department of Commerce and you find out your birth certificates are there at Department of Commerce, that's where the original copy goes. It's there. Check it out. And Walmart, Sam's Club, Walmart, they're closing down 63 locations of Sam's Club. And people are kind of upset because they were members there, and they want their membership money back. But they're closing down 63 Sam's Club, and that was a big deal for a lot of people, Melody. They shopped a lot there because they could buy stuff, and, you know, bulk prices, and now it's going to shut down 63 of them.
Are you there?
That's a huge hit. I'm here. I'm sorry. I had to sneeze. I'm sorry about that, folks. But I did turn the mic down.
Yes, you did.
I had to sneeze.
Well, anyway. God bless you.
Thank you. So this news is making me allergic. But anyway, 63 Sam's Club shutting down, and Walmart is a $250 billion company. That'll make us think about something there. What's going on there? Even with all the tax cuts they got, they're still shutting down. And I don't know why. Do you see any reason behind that?
Well, you know, when they did that, when they did the tax cuts and so forth, Walmart came out and said, oh, we're giving everybody bonuses and everything. Yes. And then they ended up shutting down their other stores. And, you know, it's all image building. It's all part of the game. It's all part of the illusion. It's all part of the, you know, the manipulation, the propaganda. It's like people just don't see through it. People just don't get it. And people think this is all good. And I mean, it's always great to have our tax reform. Yes, I want tax reform. I'm an S corporation. I'm going to get a benefit out of that. But on the other hand, it's not going to do what they expect it to do, create jobs. It's not going to trickle down. You know, it's sometimes you just get tired of being lied to.
Well, would you estimate that 50 people work at each Sam Club, at least 50, would you think, to run the club, employees and bosses and the stockers?
Probably more than that.
But if you said 50, that's over 3,100 jobs going right there.
You've got hundreds of people working in the stores.
Yes, you do. I'm being low on that. I know that on purpose. That's still worth 3,000 jobs, Melody. 3,000 jobs that maybe can't be replaced that easily with equal pay and benefits. If that were you and I, that would hurt us, would it not, if we were depending on that paycheck?
Well, it would hurt anybody.
Sure, that's the whole point. So yeah. who ends up being hurt with all this shuffling going on? It's not Walmart. It's not the government. It's us. The people depend on these paychecks. Sam's Clubs will lay off, well, let's just say 6,000 people probably will be closer to it because these are shutting down. And maybe they go somewhere else to find another job. Maybe they can. That's a possibility. But that's 6,000 less jobs, though, in the market. That's a lot. That's a whole lot.
Well, when you talk about the retail stores that were being shut down, there was a record number of retail stores, and you just don't see any of that filtered down into the jobs report. This year, there's supposed to be, 12,000 retail stores that are shuttering their doors, and we failed to see any numbers, you know, coming through. Now, have these people all Do they all receive new jobs? Did they go out and find new jobs? Maybe. Maybe they're still on benefits. I don't, you know, you'd think that somewhere along the way you'd see impacts, but we haven't yet. So when it does hit, it's going to be nasty.
Well, this article here, I'm going to read to you very quickly, I thought was kind of telling. Workers at risk as robots set to replace 66 million jobs. Now, I'm not making this up, folks. This is the economics editor for named Larry Elliott. Robots on a production line, jobs in a manufacturing industry, and agriculture are most at risk from automation, according to the think tank. The West's leading economic think tank has warned its members that they are failing to prepare workers for an automation revolution that will leave 66 million people at risk of being replaced by machines in the coming years. A new report by the Paris-based Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development found that the most vulnerable 1 in 7 workers on average across 32 countries studied were less likely to be receiving help from those whose jobs were more secure. So 66 million jobs. Let's say 10 million of those are in this country. This cross company, 10 million. Again, let that sink in. Sam's Club's going down. Automation will take over more jobs. It filters back down to the people. And people not only pay their bills and live off of this, they pay taxes off of this. So when the taxes dry up, what do governments do to keep going? What they're doing in Venezuela. They try to spread the world cost or expenses worldwide by taking over nations' economic situation. They've done that all over the country. In the Middle East, they've done that. They've done that years ago with the petrodollar. So all these things are for real. The government will survive. It's a bloodsucker, and it will drain the last drop of blood out of everybody they can before they die. And they're very good at that. They've done it for years, and they're good at manipulating us and making us think that we're doing a patriotic part by paying this. And you've heard that before.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? You hear technology leaders. You know, you hear the Microsofts. You hear all of them. They all say that governments are not preparing for the people that will be affected by the number of robots that are going to be replacing jobs. This is why you hear the Zuckerbergs of the world talk about the universal basic income. This is what they're planning on taking care of people with when the robots replace their jobs. Because so it is coming, and it's it doesn't set well.
Can you see more control of the people and masses by that? If you don't do what you're told to do, move into a sustainable community or whatever it may be, you're not going to get your UBI, and that's going to cut off your way to feed your family. Can you see more control of that? You see, that's why the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:5, cursed be the man puts his trust in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. When you put your trust in man, I preached this on the radio program tonight, when you put your heart your trust in man and man's benefits, or trust man, take your money and handle it for you, as the government did with Social Security. They control you. Whoever feeds you, Melody, becomes your boss, do they not?
They do. They absolutely do.
Okay.
And we're heading into a break right now. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Tell me again tonight. Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody, and I'm here with Butch. And I believe, you know, when we were talking about Venezuela, and we were talking about the currencies and the inflation, I received a text from Rob West. He's a frequent guest on this program, so I think most of the listeners know who Rob West is, and we always enjoy when he joins the program. And he texted me, and he texted me about the U.S. dollar, and I says, well, why don't you call in? So I believe we have Rob West holding on the line. Good afternoon, Rob.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you today?
I'm doing just great. I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul.
Hi, Rob.
I know. Hello, Pastor Butch. How are you?
I'm just fine. Getting prettier every day, just like you.
Boy, you guys are just trying to stir up something there with that dollar thing,
<laughs> you know? Trying to. But now you are, too.
Well, sort of, I guess. We've been going through a transition for quite a while, and it's so slow. And most people aren't on the educational platform to have an interest or maybe even understand this. But, you know, a year or so back, I remember on your show talking about China and, we get their currency involved with the basket of currencies. And I thought at the time they wouldn't. And, of course, that's what happened. And I think that's bringing a balancing vote to the IMF, and the IMF has revitalized the special drawing rights, which I understand has been around, frankly, since Nixon closed the gold window on our currency. And so these SDRs are taking place of international trade settlements, and I think they're working as hard as they can to create continued confidence without a sudden drop in confidence of all currencies, because there really isn't anything out there for any currency except what people interpret their belief for its value.
Sure.
And that's the whole purpose behind gold and silver. You know, we all know that. But it's going to be interesting how they're going to be able to bring these things into focus. But the SDRs are going to take more and more of a focus, and I think you'll see some spread into a gold and silver-backed part of a cryptocurrency that'll also spread into, if the banking system is going to remain in power as they have been, you'll see Visa, MasterCard items tied into an SDR type of a currency backed by gold. And, you know, gold's at a fire sale price now compared to what I'm thinking 10 to 12,000 is going to be. And, I think silver, it'll hit up into the triple digits as well. So, you know, while we got a chance to do some buying, you know, to preserve that, because for those people who study these kinds of things, and Melody, you and Butch talk about these so often, and there isn't any other place to go. You know, never has been, you know. So,
true.
But I think the transition is probably going to bring around a huge amount of inflation on those products, and that'll be an uncomfortable period of time. 50% or so inflation on most products.
Rob, can I ask you a question? May I ask you a question, Rob?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Do you have any idea when you think the gold and silver will take a huge upturn? When do you think this may come about?
You know, everyone's been trying to pin the tail on that donkey, and it can be as quick as this month. I would say sometime, definitely in 2018, is going to be a very transformational year, but it's really hard to... I don't think we've got a lot of time left relative to the enjoyment that we have. But the U.S. dollar being the leading world reserve currency, and there's so many dollars in existence and so many dollars overseas because they had to be used for international settlement. That was the purpose of the petrodollar. And I think all that's off the table now, and as that becomes more and more known, the value... You know, I used to do seminars on gold and silver years ago, and it's the same thing is true. Stories I told about Germany and a 1 ounce silver coin buying a very nice hotel. You know, I mean, this type of hyperinflation is possible around here. It may be more smooth, but still, you know, what you're buying for what we have as a U.S. dollar right now is just like, it's not going to be sustainable. So, as to the timing, you know, I've been planning for it for quite some time. So, but you're never ready for this stuff. And so many people are just thinking, hey, they're tired of listening to me because I've been, you know,
sure,
shouting wolf all the time, you know. And but I know this has happened before, and there'll be people calling me and emailing me and wanting to know what to do, just like they will with you guys, because all of a sudden they're faced with it, and the banks are closed. You can't do anything about it. So
yes,
the banks have closed before. And the stock markets have closed before.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how it's going to be used, whether it's going to be used by a crypto, whether it's going to be used by a basket of currencies. I always said a basket of currency, but gold is going to play a very important part in our global finance and our global monetary system. And I don't know how much, how big, but I agree with you. You see 10,000 gold and silver in triple digits is nothing to be, you know, it's almost how could it not go to those levels when you look at the fundamentals and to the position that it's just not our country in. It's all these countries that are severe, that have severe problems. And we've exported our inflation for how many years? And we're doing everything that we can, and we're going to see this inflation, you know, smack us in the face. People won't be prepared, and you're right. They've hurt us for years and years and years, and I don't think people pay much attention anymore.
That's really true. That's really, I'm sorry, but that really is true, and it's sad to say that. People are going
it
to
is.
Sleep. They're going back to sleep. I mean, Trump's in office. He's going to save us. Don't worry about it.
Well,
attitude.
You know, he's really doing an awful lot for the country, and I think there's a mixed blessing of him. People think of him as president and all, but just because he was elected, and I could see a very positive slant towards people's attitude and business and so forth. The old problem didn't go away.
No, they didn't.
No.
You know, and they're just not in the news as much, perhaps. But no, they're very definitely here, and it's just going to be a very harsh reality for a whole lot of people that are just living day to day, and not, and a lot of people didn't pay attention back when it was a lot more talked about, I think. But you know, that's the purpose for your show, and you guys have a great message. And
well, thank you.
It's I understand that large quantities of gold is not available for purchase or delivery, and you know, the level of most retail gold still is, you can still get delivery, but if you look up the chain, Melody, I think you've talked to this before, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, your supply chain, and then nobody's going to give you a tip off as to the way up from the mining and smelting all the way down. If you're going to have a problem that's all of a sudden going to log jam, then you won't get supply until it does go to 10,000 an ounce, and then all of a sudden you get some supply.
You know? Well, you know. You know, what I think we're going to see, too, is because the lack of interest in gold and silver, the U.S. Mint. I mean, we buy gold and silver in the secondary market, so it's not the, you know, the U.S. Mint isn't just the indicator. But if you look at their numbers and you see how little they sold this year compared to the last, heavens, they're selling gold and silver eagles at numbers we haven't seen since 2003. What's going to happen is there will be an event, and they've cut back on their inventory now. They've taken off, it used to be that you used to have to commit a certain amount, so their inventory is really low now, and as soon as there's something that's going to happen, product won't even be there, because they can't reverse this little to none inventory scenario to match they won't be able to meet the demand.
Well, that means the price will go up even more.
The price will go up. I mean, premiums are at lows that I haven't seen in 15, 20 years on gold eagles.
Yes.
So you're right. That's what's going to happen. You won't be able to get it. And those that will get it, prices will be out of this world. Usually this is what we see before things happen. You're seeing the treasury, the mint, pulling back on their inventories because there isn't a demand.
Yeah. And, you know, when we're talking about the price going to those levels, if you're already an owner of gold, then you're like thinking, man, that's a great thing because what I own is really going up tenfold or something. No, that would be true if you're thinking of selling, but why would you? I mean, I wouldn't encourage that unless it was a necessary thing. But what it's there for is to compete with what the prices are going to be on everything else. I mean,
yes. Mm-hmm.
You're just buying the insurance at a higher premium, you know, so it's not like a wonderful thing, you know. It's a protection thing.
Yep.
And I think silver is going to play a big role for the average person, because it'll reflect the same way, but it's much more in reach for most people, and psychologically it's much more in reach, you know, as well as financially. So it's a tool. It needs to be in the toolbox.
Usually always before, you know, situations in the past for 100 years or so, whenever we're heading into these situations and silver is used as an industrial metal, you know, it'll have the impact. And that's why I think we're seeing the lower numbers on silver, because it's trading more of an industrial metal. But once that situation happens, you'll have people turning to silver as the monetary metal. And it's happened before, and it's going to happen again. And silver, and you're right, people will turn also to silver because it'll also be affordable.
Mm-hmm. And we're just so used to the standard model, the way we learned and grew up. But I'm going to tell you, years back when I was a stockbroker, for me to even address the idea of owning physical gold or silver wasn't even close to being in the building, much less the conference room and our sales meetings, because brokers are dealing with derivative money objects, you know, the stocks and the bonds, and that gold and silver inventory is just, you know, just something that isn't, they can't work with, you know, and so they're naturally going to be tuned to the negative of it, and a lot of people continue to have misguidance because they listen to their, you know, financial advisors, you know, and they're not doing anything wrong. It's just the way the system is, you know. So it people need to reach out just take a look at this and do your own research. I hear people tell us all the time, do your own research. It's just not me. But, you know, the do your own research thing, how many people do that? I mean, you know,
Colorado. Very true.
We got to stop everything because tomorrow, you know, the Rockies have opening day, you know. I mean, it's just life gets in the way.
Yeah.
So, but we'll just keep up doing what we can do.
Well, you know, we talked about this on yesterday's program in West Virginia, Butch. Congressman Alexander Mooney, do you know him? Second District?
I know of him, yes.
He introduced a bill in the House that would return the U.S. to the gold standard.
Yes.
It's House Resolution 5404. And so, you know, to me, there's reasons why this is coming up now. It's just another sign. We don't know how far it'll get. We don't know if there'll be hearings on it. We tried to contact him, and we sent him some questions to see if they would answer, see if we could get answers from him, from his office and so forth. So it's interesting. We do know that there's been several states out there who have, you know, made gold and silver as their state money and so forth. So I think Arizona, I think Utah's one, and several other states tried to. I don't know if they've ever completed or whatnot, but this is the way it's going to go, period. And that's the truth.
Well, you know, and President Trump visited right near me today, about 45 minutes from me, and didn't invite me to his meeting. I don't understand. That hurt my feelings. He was here in West Virginia today, just about 45 minutes from where I live, and he didn't invite me.
He didn't? Well,
no, he didn't.
What does he know, then?
How rude. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry. I get a bit levity there. I get a little giggle once in a while, but this is serious stuff. And the states you mentioned that are saying gold is going to be their new money, I wonder how are they going to put these things in force? What are they going to do? Is that a good question? How are they going to make it work?
Well, there's a couple of ways they could make it work. They can just allow gold to start circulating. You know, the pre-33 coins, the circulated ones, not the certified ones, or the modern issue ones, the gold eagles, they could just get them to, you know, to where they you know, you just start circulating them. Or they could do like for foreign trade, I think there's going to be different tiers. And I don't think anyone really knows how they can play it. Because until it actually happens. But the most common sense is you have a basket of currencies and you throw gold in there to stabilize them. It won't be 100%, might be 10%, 20%. But I hear the music, and that's a conversation.
And I wasn't finished.
We're going to have a different conversation on, or the same conversation follow up on another day. Thank you, Rob, very much for joining us. Thank you, Pastor Butch.
You're welcome. Thank you all.
We'll be back tomorrow with Dave Allen. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
If I got me a wealthy